Welcome to Design Your Life and Business, the podcast for leaders by Bright Mind Consulting Group. We give you the necessary tools to help you become the architect of not just your business, but your life too. I'm your host, Javon Wooden. Hey, what's going on, Glenn? How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you, Javon?
I'm doing fantastic. And designers, you are in for a treat, pun intended. We are with Glenn Gardone, Mr. Chocolatier himself. So, Glenn, we're going to hop right into it, man, because y'all don't know, but I actually have a red chocolate candy bar right here, and I'm going to taste it live on the show to give you some real live feedback. So look out for it. So first question before I get to eat this deliciousness is, who is Glenn Gardone?
Well, brother, I'm an amalgamation of 58 years of life and 30 plus years of business. I hope people think of me when they think of me. They'll say, you know what? He's a good guy. He's a fair guy. He's a great dad. He's an honest businessman. And he's a good friend. And so I guess that's what I try to be. I aspire to be every day. I'm still growing in my life, even at this age, and I'll continue to grow. And ultimately, I'm fortunate and I've been blessed in my life. And I just try to help those that I can. I'm not saying I can help everybody, but if I can help you a little bit, I'm going to do it. That's just in me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. We are lifelong learners. When you stop learning, you stop, period, right? So I love what you said there. And I love that you led with what you aspire to be, because that's beautifully stated, man. So you are also a consumer packaged good industry veteran. What got you interested in that field and what keeps you motivated?
So what got me interested? Nothing got me interested in it. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I'm not one of those folks that I was 18 years old and I found my passion and I was just driving and go. That wasn't me. Look, I grew up in a blue collar family. I was first one in my family to go to college, paid my way through college, didn't want a bunch of student loans, worked my tail off, and knew that I wanted to be successful. And now it throughout my life, successful has changed. So when I first started out, success to me meant I had a few bucks in my pocket and I could grab dinner out whenever I wanted to. It was that kind of thing, you know? And so that was my goal. And it just so happened that I had an opportunity to come into the CPG field and go into sales. That was one of my first jobs. And you know what they say, or you know, the running joke, if you're not sure what you want to do, go sell something. You're either going to be really good at it or you're going to hate it. Either one. And I happen to be pretty good at it because I love working with people and I love talking to people. And they used to call me the mayor way back when, because I'd walk into a room and talk to everybody, because I enjoy getting to know people, man. It's just, it's part of me. I like to know what makes people tick. I like to know what they're about. And so had this opportunity to go in consumer packaged goods. And honestly, in this industry, once you're in it, again, it's one of two things. You either absolutely love it and you never leave, or you absolutely hate it almost immediately and you leave. I remember I had an interview years and years ago, and I was interviewing somebody out of the tech field. I said, so what's one of the things you really like about the tech field? Oh, things are always changing and it's always different. And I looked at him, I said, and at the time I was working for a cereal company. I said, you see this box of cereal? They said, yeah. I said, that's the way it's been for the last 100 years, man. I'm like, this is not the type of industry that you're going to be looking for technology wowzers. And it still is. We get better and smarter as the days go on, but it's not like you're going to see these massive changes over a 3-year life cycle kind of thing. So I fell in love with it. I really got a chance to work with some amazing people. And here I sit now 30 plus years later, and it doesn't feel like it's been 30 years, brother. I've had a good time. I've had a real good time.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. It sounds like we have so many parallels as well. I'm first generation college graduate, and I got into tech through the military, and I didn't love it. I just knew that I was like you. I'm tired of this struggling. I just wanted to get some money so I could do some things, man. So I love that you shared that. So I got to try this, man. I've been looking at it. I can't even focus on the interview. I'm just going to be honest, because just to be transparent, he sent me about, what, like 10 of these? And this is the last one left. So I actually tried it before. I'm going to do this on the show, on air.
So I want you to eat that while you're trying that. So what you're about to try is my favorite. That is my caramelized white chocolate. Now, remember, with red chocolate, the whole idea behind it is, of course, we're European crafted, no sugar added, blah, blah, blah. But see, I'm a type 2 diabetic, right? And I am a chocoholic, and I'm an unapologetic chocoholic. And the reason I am is because I love the indulgence of chocolate. So, and I can't have regular chalk. Send me to the hospital. So what do you think?
There's a reason why the other 9 boxes are gone. And it wasn't because someone else ate them. It was all me, Glenn. I'm just going to admit it. And I'm not even a sweet guy, but this is amazing. And I love your reason behind it. And I was going to ask that question, but you don't even need the reason to make something this good. I mean, you can just do it just because. That's amazing. And the one I just had was blonde caramelized white chocolate made in Europe. It's kosher, which is awesome. And there's so many good things. There's no GMO, gluten-free. So you hit a lot of these boxes, Glenn. So was it just the fact that you were like, hey, I'm a type 2 diabetic and I just want some chocolate, so I'm going to make this? Or was there more to that story?
Well, no, actually, there was more. So again, I've been in this business for a long time and I've traveled the world. I've been all over the world. And actually, red chocolate was around before I brought it here to the United States. So what had happened was I was actually in Heathrow Airport in London. And I'm always on the search. Being in the business, you're always looking at packages. And especially me, I'm always looking for some kind of treat I can have on the airplane that's, you know, that I can have as a diabetic. I mean, it's pretty simple. And I found this chocolate red. And I went, oh, that's interesting. So I grabbed a bar of it. And I was sitting down waiting for my flight. And I ate the whole bar. And I went, man, that is really good. I was like, there's no way that that is no sugar added. So I grabbed out my stick, poked myself. I checked. My blood sugar didn't raise at all after I had it. I went, oh, this is interesting. So I grabbed every bar they had. And so I brought them home and I've got like 7 bars on me. And I was talking to my wife, went, oh, by the way, I told her the situation about red. And she's like, well, let me try it. So she eats chocolate. She eats, because she eats anything she wants. God bless her. And she tried. She went, are you sure this is no sugar added? I said, yeah. I said, and I even tested my blood. And she went, this is amazing, Glenn. I went, I know. And so for like a year, every time I would travel internationally, I'd find the red and I'd pick it up and I'd load myself up and I'd do it. Well, fast forward, like I said, about a year and a half later, I had sold a company that I was leading. We sold to a large organization. Wasn't sure what I was going to do. And out of the blue, and I'll tell you, I'm not a religious man, but I am a spiritual man. And there's always reasons that things happen. And out of the blue, I get a call from a representative from the 2 families that owned Red Chocolate. And they said, hey, look, we're looking at coming into the U.S. Your name's come up a lot. Would you mind meeting with us? And I laughed to myself. I didn't say a word. I tell them, hey, I know who you are. I love you. I'm one of your fans. I said, yeah, I'd love to meet. So went out to New York, met them. We sat for 4 hours and we talked. And it turned out that we formed a partnership from that. So we went, in the last 4 years, we went from being in 15 countries, which none of them were the U.S., to now we're in 28 countries. U.S. is our second largest market. You know, we're in 12,000 store doors here in America. I'd love to say, oh, it's because of me and it's because of the great team. The fact is, it's an amazing chocolate. I've gotten a great team. They're awesome, but I have an amazing brand of chocolate called Red. And that's really what's made us so popular.
That's awesome, man. So where in the States, what are some of the stores that you're in that the listeners can go to?
We're in most of the major retailers, whether it be Kroger, whether it be BJ's. We're in the military. We're on every military base in America. So in other words, we're almost everywhere, brother. As a matter of fact, what's really cool is we're actually doing a try it free. We're giving away bars on the military bases in the next week. We're giving anybody who stops by, we're giving them, because it's just my way of saying thank you, man, because I appreciate what the military does for us. I bought many lunches in airports because I want to be respectful, because what you give for us is, man, I just sell chocolate, brother. Nobody's coming after me. You know what I'm saying? So God bless the military. But go on www.red-chocolate. That's our website. Go to Store Finder, type in your zip. You'll come up with 50 stores from there, or you can always buy us online or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, salute to my brothers and sisters in arms, and thank you for that support. That is amazing. I'm going to go up to Sam Houston and go get me some of that red chocolate. So just to support them and myself at the same time. So yeah, appreciate that, man. You definitely should take some credit for what has transpired after your tenure began, because that is impressive. That means your marketing is on point. You have weathered some storms, I'm sure, along the way, because it hasn't been smooth sailing for hardly anyone. So what are some of the unique challenges and opportunities that you've seen since taking over?
So I actually launched Red in the United States 5 months before COVID began. We're talking about a full team. We're talking about an organization, because I took about 7 months to, quote, Americanize the company, building in the infrastructure, building the marketing, building the sales organization, our reason for being, really. So when we were ready to go, we launched, and 5 months later, they shut the world down. So we've definitely seen some intense moment in our short-lived career. Because of the team, we've been able to push through it and we've been more successful coming out the end. When I look back, I think understanding who Red was for, I think that was the biggest thing. And from that, that's when we started to talk to the people who are interested. Look, there's 360 million people in America, just America. And out of that, 130 million, we'll say, love chocolate. Another 70 million kind of like chocolate. That's still 200 million people. And then you narrow it down. Now, what we did was I knew what I wanted Red to stand for. I knew what I wanted it to, what its reason for being was. So everything we do on our marketing side truly is about that. They call us healthy chocolate. I hate the term healthy chocolate. There's no such thing, man. Chocolate is indulgent. If you just eat chocolate, brother, that ain't a good sign. I call it smart indulgence. Because if you're going to indulge, do it a little bit smarter. That's all. Everybody should enjoy themselves. We just do it the old term, moderation. Well, we're smart indulgence. We're a third less calories, a third less fat. Like you said, we're gluten-free, non-GMO. We don't do it just because we want to check the box. It's done because it's what I want for me, I guess is the best way to put it. And I had hoped that I wasn't the only knucklehead in the world or an American looked at it and went, wow, this is really good. And luckily, 3 million people every month say, nah, you are right. We agree with you. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And count me in that 3 million somewhere because I'm a fan. So as the president of such a successful company and having to Americanize them and do all these other things and expansion and all those other things, what does a day in the life of Glenn Gardone look like?
I'm not the guy that has a regiment. I'm not. I am definitely a flow kind of person. I'm probably more regimented when I go on vacation because I don't want to lose time. But in business, we start our business here. We've got folks that come in anywhere from 7:30 to 9. It's according to you. It's not like we're sitting here punching a clock. Everybody knows what they need to do. I trust and respect everybody that's here. Myself, personally, I get up. I want to spend some time with my wife. You know, my boys are a little bit older now, my children. And I heard for yourself, your daughter?
Yeah, she's coming in December. I cannot wait.
That's all I got to say, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Hey, don't worry. I'll be hitting you up like, how the hell did you do this, man? What?
So I try to spend a few minutes, you know, my wife and I just reflecting, just going through some of the things, what we're going to do for the day, things like that. Then I come into the office and I start by seeing where I'm needed, I guess. There's always things that I need to do for myself, but ultimately the idea is to continue to move the business forward. So some things I do are more for internal sake and things like that and our partners. So if it's something that we're working on with marketing, that takes precedence. If there's something that's going on with supply chain, I've been known to go in back and throw cases if that's what needs to be. The fact is, I've always said, and probably what I'm most proud of is, look, I can figure out what broom we need. I could go negotiate to buy the broom. I can pick up the broom. I could bring the broom back to the office. I could sweep with the broom. I could clean up after the broom, and I could put the broom away in the closet. So in other words, look, we all wear hats here. We all wear multiple hats. Here's a story for you. So COVID hits and we shut everything down because nobody knew what was going on. And my head of my global supply chain here, she's been with me for, God, almost 15 years now. Amazing woman. And so we're probably 5 days into it. And she calls me. Everybody's at the house because we're all watching the news, not sure what's happening. And she said, hey, the team and I were talking. We're going back in the office. I said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? What's going on? She's Glenn. We got to ship. I was like, look, if you're going in, I'm going to go in with you. I don't know if I can help, but I got to make sure everybody's safe because that's way more important than chalk. And so we were at probably about 30, 35% being able to do what we want to do because we weren't sure. So we made sure we did it as safe as possible. And we're probably here maybe 3-4 days and I get a call from my head of marketing. And she says, hey, Glenn, I heard you're in the office. I'm like, yeah. And I went through and explained to her why. She's like, I was talking to my team. We're coming in too. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. You're fine. She's like, no, we'll handle marketing, but we're coming in to help you guys because we figure you could need our help. And within 2 weeks of when everything happened, the team was here. And it was funny because we'd get pizza and things like that for lunch or somebody would bring something in because most of the restaurants were closed at the time. And just the chance to talk with everybody, and everybody did it safely. But that's when I started to see the culture and probably one of my most proudest moments at Red. I love the fact you can find us everywhere. I love the fact that millions of people every month love and make us part of their life. I think it's awesome. But to see the culture we have here in our organization, It's probably one of my most proudest moments because it started with nothing.
Absolutely. And culture says a lot about the leadership because a lot of that is top down. So the fact that you say you let everyone be an adult, right? You're not clocking them and all that other stuff. That speaks volumes. And a lot of organizations can learn from that because that's really, people want their autonomy. They want meaningful work and they want a cultural fit, right? A company that aligns with their values. And it sounds like you have that all figured out. I mean, let's be honest. You know, if I was working with Chopin, I'd probably be happy myself. But seriously, though, that's good, man.
It's been an amazing journey. And like I said, I've had the opportunity to run other organizations and everybody in our careers. I've had amazing mentors and I've had unfortunate, and I call it fortunate, I've had some real morons. And because I've learned from them too. I learned how to not do something, you know, and one of the things was how you work with people, how you look at them as an asset. I know people have read it in books, but you truly have to feel that way. And is every employee an asset? If they want to be, yes. Are there some that may not want to be? Yeah, there are at times, but those people usually don't last too long, especially when you've got a community that's as strong as we've got. And I can tell you, with all the folks we hire, and we have over 200 people, I think maybe one, maybe two have left over the last 4 years. And I wish them luck. And I'm here for you if you need anything. And I've got one of them that still used me as a reference for several of the jobs they want.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's good that you also support the growth out, right? And that's important. So absolutely. Yeah. So got another question. So with so many competitors in this space, how do you differentiate, Red?
So the way we differentiate it really is by what our reason for being is. As we had said, look, we've got some behemoths, $14, $18 billion behemoths within our industry. And they've got a place. And I tell folks all the time, see, with Red, from a retailer standpoint, because there's two ways to look at it. From the retailer who has on the shelf to the consumer who buys it. And I'll speak to the retailer and then ultimately the consumer who's the most important within our partnership. But for a retailer, they look at us and they say, hey, this is something that I cannot offer to my consumer right now. Because honestly, if you're buying a sugared forward chocolate, as we like to call it, a guy like me is not buying it. And it's not just myself. You could be between 28 and 38 and into fitness and health. And you're like, you know what? I don't want the carbs. I don't want the sugar. I'm looking for something a little more keto friendly. You could be on a weight loss journey and you're looking for something that's more Weight Watchers friendly. And that's where we fit, okay? So from a retailer perspective, you have what's called incremental to the category and cannibalization. When you come out with your 13th SKU, but this one is mint chocolate chip, you're not growing the pie. All you're doing is taking people that were doing this, and now they're buying it here, and you've got 95% cannibalization. We're up into the 80s when it comes into our trial and our incrementality of the category. That's why retailers look at us and go, oh yeah, man, you're right, I do need this. And the consumer, ultimately, you know what how they vote? They vote by the taste. They vote by the value. And when I say value, I can line up 10 of your friends and I'll probably get 8 different answers for value. This person can say, oh, it's a price thing. And that's a perfect price point for me. Others can say, you know what? I'm looking for non-GMO or gluten-free or kosher. That's my value. Somebody else could be saying, you know what? I am cutting sugars out as much as I possibly can. That's my value. And so as long as we can, again, our reason for being meets those needs, gives them that value. Because, Javon, you go out and you buy a shirt tonight. It's a personal choice. But what you put in your body is an even more personal choice. So for millions of consumers in the U.S. to say, Red, you're right for me, that's why we're so proud of it. Because it's one of the most personal choices that a person can make. We call them consumers. They're people, man. They're making a decision to let Red be in their family.
Yes, indeed, man. I can see why you have such a loyal following. You mentioned 3 million. It's going to grow for sure because that's some good stuff and a healthier choice. 100% pleasure, 0% guilt. That's what it says on the inside. I just want people to see that. That's awesome. So one of your missions is to pretty much spread entrepreneurial knowledge. So what would you want to say to the entrepreneurs listening right now, no matter where they are in your journey? How can you help them share with your biggest lessons?
Yeah. So if you're starting out, know that you're going to work harder than you ever have in your life, probably for the least amount of money you're ever going to get. And just get ready for it. When I first started in, and again, I wasn't a guy that had this big passion. Honestly, I don't even know how to spell the word entrepreneur. when I was 19 years old. Well, it wasn't in my mind. I didn't grow up around entrepreneurs. And so in the beginning, as long as you believe in what you do, and what I mean by that is you could do everything from a consulting business to consumer packaged goods. And when you've got your family around the table and you're telling what you're going to do, and they're like, yeah, it's a good idea. It's a great idea. They're on the payroll, as I like to say. The true test is when somebody's not on the payroll, when you start talking to them. When we first started with Red, we were going out and we were explaining who we were. And I could see it really wasn't sinking in. I could have ridiculously stayed with the discussion we were having and run into wall after wall after wall. But I said, no, you know what? There's something wrong with what I'm doing. It's not that there's something wrong with you because you're not liking it. You have an understanding. And why doesn't it fit? So if I think it fits, but you don't, I have to understand why you don't. Because you may be right and you may be looking for something up here and I'm right here. But chances are we're right here. I'm just not saying it in the way you want to say it. So I tell people starting out, especially when you're starting out, listen. Just listen and don't think, look, you put a presentation together, you think it's good. You better think it's good because you're the one that put the presentation together. You know, so if you don't think it's good, then you got a major problem. For those entrepreneurs that have been doing it for some time, I've been in marketing now for 27 years. And the biggest change, and I get this often, is how has the consumer changed? It's funny, the consumer hasn't changed. Again, they still look for that value. What has changed is how you deliver that message to the consumer. You know, when it was during COVID, you couldn't talk about your products when they were in the store because people weren't going in the store. And if they were, it was head down, get the job done and get out and go home and delouse yourself, so to speak. And so we had to understand how we could get to it. And we had to go through the tools that were available. So for any entrepreneur, what I say is look at the tools that are available. Don't think you got the perfect way to do it. You may be great at this moment and you may have it at this moment. But again, as an entrepreneur, it's not about today. You have to make sure today is healthy to be able to have a strong tomorrow. So you can't always look to tomorrow because then you'll never have a great today. And honestly, there won't be a tomorrow. But if you're always looking at tomorrow, today's going to pass you by and you're never going to know. So what I say is in the beginning, you focus 70% of your time on today and 30% on tomorrow. And as you see the business mature, it switches and you start to become 70% tomorrow and 30% today. And that you do by the helps of people that you bring on or the way your business grows. And that's how you do it. But in the beginning, your focus has to be on surviving today.
Well said. So I think that's a great point. We can go on that, man. I don't even want to ask the by design. No, I'm just playing. So we're going to shift to the by design segment. That was awesome though. So first question, Glenn. What has been the hardest part about designing a life and business you don't need a vacation from?
The hardest part is finding that passion and it being a passion. We all want to be our own boss. That's not a passion. That's a goal. You can't say you're passionate about it because let me tell you, there's a lot more stuff I deal with today than I did when I had 17 layers when I was employee 10,604 because I've been there. And so what you have to do is you have to make sure that what you're involved with, you truly want to be involved. If you own a retail store and you have an ice cream shop, we'll say, but you hate ice cream and you hate the people that come in ice cream and you don't like working with vendors, you're in the wrong business, man, because you're going to spend a lot of hours doing it. So you got to enjoy what you're doing. I love coming into work because of the people I get to talk to. Plus, I get to talk to consumers. I like that. That's what I enjoy. So my goal from as far back as I can remember was being able to go to bed on a Sunday night, not upset that Monday morning was coming. And so what you try to do is the life you want to build, you want to build that satisfaction. I still have desires. I still want to see the company continue to grow. But you know what? Even if we stop right here, we can still consider ourselves successful and somebody would come in and buy us and blah, blah, blah. But it's not what anybody wants. We've got something much bigger than ourselves, man.
Absolutely. Yes. Keep growing, man. Like I said, you're going to have a lot more than 3 million after this. That was amazing. So the second question, what is the best lesson you've learned on your entrepreneurial journey?
Know that you're not the smartest person at the table. And if you are, you're horrendous at hiring people. Because I love the fact that we'll sit with my group, whether marketing, finance, and supply chain. I know I've got brilliant minds that surround me. So we're going to come up with some great ideas. We had a program. So this program, okay, this simple card, All right. When you turn it over, you can scan it. This came from one of our interns. And what this card was when you get our products in the mail, because you can go on our website and buy or Amazon or Home Shopping Network, wherever you buy it from, you'll get a card in there and ask you, how'd you like it? There's four questions in there. And the idea is I can hire a bunch of people. I can look in analysis. I can go through all of our software systems. But ultimately, I could just ask the consumer, how'd you find out about us? Did it come when you expected? Was it the way you expected it? How'd you like the product? And so from that, she came up with the idea. We were in a meeting and I looked at her, I laughed and said, that is an awesome idea. Less than a week later, we had the cars printed. They go in and we have 1,000 packages a day that go out. They go out with this and we constantly hear, continuously hear from our consumers. So don't be the smartest at the table. That's probably the biggest thing. And I've worked for people who thought they were the smartest at the table and they weren't the smartest at the table. And so just be a little bit humble and know, you know what? I don't know everything. So let me bring in people that can help me to grow this true dream that I have.
Absolutely. And one thing on that, Glenn, is the fact that you were willing to listen, right? You didn't care if there was an intern. You listened no matter where the idea came from. And that's culture is big, man. Third question, what are three tools or tips that you would recommend when scaling a business?
Patience, a little bit of insanity, all right? And what I mean by that is you have to be patient because sometimes it is one step forward and three steps back, especially when you're trying to grow because you're not sure what, these are new waters, so to speak, that you're swimming in. A little bit of insanity because it's very simple, especially when you're the leader, to just sit back and go, bills are being paid, everybody's happy, I'm going to relax. There's no reason to go out and get more risk. So you got to have a little bit of insanity to say, you know what? I know this organization could do more. I know it can. And doing it for the right reasons. Again, we're a privately held company. The ultimate goal is to be able to satisfy the needs of every one of my employees worldwide. Once that's done, the company can say, we're good. Everybody, let's just continue the day-to-day operations. We don't have to do anything else. But as a group of individuals, we all know, you know what? We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to give our message to people. We want people to have the opportunity to try and win. And so that's that little bit of insanity in it because you're never satisfied. And the third tool is knowledge. Understand the big thing now coming out of the last 4 months that you're reading the news about AI. How does it fit? How are the needs? Does it fit you? How can you take a little bit of this? And I tell people, don't swallow the whole apple, no matter what it is. Take a bite. It's okay. Take a bite. And then from there, understand if you like the quote unquote app. So whether it be AI, whether it be a new software system, what is it that can allow you to be bigger, better, faster, but do it properly? Because we've all seen companies try to grow so fast, they explode and implode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Growth isn't always a good thing. You got to be ready for that for sure and be intentional. Glenn, it's been a fantastic episode and I got to eat a little bit of chocolate. So I'm going to ask you, how can the people connect with you?
Easiest way is to go on our website. Again, it's red-chocolate.com. If you go on the Learn About Us, are my pictures there, all of my contact information is there. And I tell people all the time, look, reach out to me. If I can help you, I'm more than happy to. If I can't, maybe I can give you a path forward. If there's something I can offer up, I will. And I'm always happy because you know what? I've been fortunate that I've had people in my career that have said, you know what? Put their hand on my shoulder and said, here, let me help you for a minute. And it's been an incredible help. And so really, it's what I want to do. I want to be able to help all of those people that I can.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again, Glenn. It's been amazing. And we look forward to seeing what Red comes up with next. And for the designers listening, make sure y'all play this back. Glenn dropped some jewels. Look at it from your perspective and what you can apply. And remember, as always, keep ascending.
Amen.
Design Your Life and Business, the podcast for leaders, is brought to you by Bright Mind Consulting Group. To find out more about Bright Mind Consulting Group and how you can become the best leader possible, visit brightmindconsultinggroup.com. Make sure you search for Design Your Life and Business on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Bright Mind Consulting Group, we cannot thank you enough for listening.